I like it. You wonder sometimes why God's not blessing. Maybe it's because you hadn't thanked Him for the last thing He done for you. Amen. It's all right to give glory to Him. Amen. We're living in a world that's praising men for everything in the world. And them men are going to get old and fat and die. God never changes. Somebody say amen. I've got a lot to be thankful for myself. Amen. God's been good. I love that song. God's been good in my life. Good singing this morning. Matthew chapter number 5. You say, ain't that where we was last Sunday? Yep. And I can't get away from it. Matthew chapter number 5. And we're going to look at the same scripture we did last week. Matthew chapter number 5. Then I want to try to be a help to you and a blessing to you this morning. Last Sunday we preached out of Matthew chapter 5. And then 1 Kings chapter number 19. Where the angel came to Elijah and brought him food. When he was in a state of, I guess we could say, depression, Brother Charles. He was, his prayer was, the great prophet, the great man of God, his prayer was that he might die. And he sat down under a juniper tree and went to sleep. My thoughts on the matter, I believe that his prayer was that he just not wake up. That he just die in his sleep. And God dispatched an angel from heaven to bring Elijah food. Elijah said, Lord, it's enough now. He said, just take my life. I want to die. God did not even respond to his dilemma.
Right.
He didn't even deal with his depression. He just sent an angel, and the angel said, Elijah, arise and eat.
Amen.
He had him a cruise of water and a cake that was baked, and Elijah ate that food, and he went back to sleep again. The angel comes back. Brings him food and water again the second time, and repeats the same statement but adds a little something to it. He said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for thee. For the journey is too great for thee. I'm not going to rehash last Sunday's message, but I would like to say, I don't care who you are, where you're from, how much money you have or don't have, the journey is too great for thee.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ said, without me, ye can do nothing. A few years ago, I got on a kick, and I need to get back on it, of riding my bicycle. I was riding my bicycle about 100 miles a week, and I felt better than I've ever felt in my life. And now I'm getting fat. I need to get back on the bicycle. But anyway, I was at the bicycle store one day, and I was talking to the guy, and it was my first, I was about to do my first extended ride. I rode 60 miles. I was about to, the next day, I was going to try to do 60 miles in one day. And I was talking to the guy, and he said, you're going to crash. I said, dude, I've been riding a bicycle since I was a little boy. I don't think I'm going to crash. He said, no, I don't mean wreck. He said, physically, you're going to crash. He said, your body is going to go about as far as it can go. Your legs are going to turn into noodles. Your heart is going to feel like it's coming out your nose. He said, you're going to crash. He said, I got some stuff here. They were, it looked like a pack of ketchup that you'd get at McDonald's. You know what I'm talking about? He said, while you're riding and you feel your body start to give up, he said, you just pop one of these in your mouth, and it was a protein shot, an energy thing, and man, he was right. I got to a spot, I was way down in Rockmart, and I was fixing to get off that bicycle and call my mother-in-law and say, come get me. I've gone about as far as I can go. Physically. How many of you have been there? In your life, with everything going on, everything happening, with your children, your grandkids, your job, and your extended family, and I mean, just jump. And one of our men told me this week, he said, preacher, anything that can go wrong has went wrong. You need something to get you through. He said again, you need something to get you through. You need that shot. I had that in the back pocket of the bicycle shirt's got a back pocket on. I forgot about that. It's called goo. G-U. Goo. I forgot I had that thing. You talk about gross. I reached back there, Brother Todd, and I grabbed that thing and I ate that and I started riding. And it was almost like I had a new I got this. 60 miles behind leg, I'm going to go ahead and do 75. I mean, that thing gave me what I needed to get over that hump. My body was depleted of everything it had, electrolytes and all that good stuff. And I just shot that little thing in my mouth and, oh, God, man, it was like slime. And I got that thing down my throat. It didn't taste good, but it helped. A lot of times that's like preaching. Yeah. It don't taste good and you don't like it, but if you'll take it, it'll help you. Amen. All the Bible ain't milk and honey. It ain't all manner pudding. It ain't all Oreo blizzards. Sometimes it's it ain't always amen. Sometimes it's just old me. But old me will help you just like amen. Are we okay? Matthew chapter number 5, looking at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in verse number 6, blessed. Remember we talked about that word last Sunday, blessed. Yeah. You know what it means? It's a bigger word for happy. A stronger word, a deeper word. It's a happy that you can only know in the Lord.
Amen.
Are you listening? This world don't know anything about our kind of happy. All their happy is short-lived and dependent on their surroundings and happenings in their life. Happy. But we know blessing. Blessing means to be full. To be content and want of nothing. Fulfillment. Purpose. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I love this last part of the verse. For they shall be filled.
Amen.
I preached this last Sunday, and I'm going kind of in a little bit of a different direction this morning. But Brother Charles, all week long, it's hounded me and hounded me and hounded me. If somebody here this morning doesn't get that shot, that thing that you need, you're not going to get over this hump. Your marriage is going down the drain. Your kid are going by the wayside. Your mind is about as frazzled as it can get. You're just about ready to wave the white flag and say, I give up. I've had it up to here. I don't know if I can take anymore. I've gone as far as I can go. Well, I want to say to you, like the angel said to Elijah, arise and eat. For the journey is too great for thee. So many times we come to church and we sit here and we hear the singing. The singing ministers to our heart. It did mine. God's been good in my life. I've had more gains than losses. I mean, boy, that does something. It reminds me, it takes my mind off of what's wrong and reminds me of how much is good in my life. We sit here and we hear the singing. We watch the worship and we hear the preaching, but yet we leave just like we came in. My family went to Luther's Bistro down here in Billerica on Friday night. Friday night, took Levi out for his birthday. And boy, did I eat. I didn't just go and sit back and watch everybody else eat. I didn't just go and watch Todd eat that steak and go, boy, that looks good. I didn't sit there and watch my mother eat them pork chops and go, of course she looks like she's having fun. No, I got me a ribeye. And a loaded baked potato and a salad. And a bowl about that big of onion straws. I didn't just observe. Eating is not a spectator sport. I took part in the thing. Amen. You came this morning. You might as well take part.
Amen.
You're not just watch the worship. You're not just hear the word of God. You're to take part. heart and receive some of it unto yourself. Why? Because I'm worried about you getting over that next hill. You say, well, nothing's going on in my life. Maybe not today, but we know not what tomorrow holds. Remember, Elijah's laying there. To him, in his mind, this is it. This is the last day of my life. I'm going to sleep. I'm not waking up. He don't know about the journey that's ahead of him. He don't know about the widow. He don't know about the brook Cherith. He don't know none of these things. He don't know about the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil. And he don't know about the miracles. He has no idea what's ahead of him. And neither do you. And neither do I. I don't watch a whole lot of news, but Brother Robert, what I do watch worries me. Let me say it again. What I do watch worries me.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say to you is, in days to come, if nature just carries its course, we're going to need God and a whole lot of it. In our verse this morning, he appeals to two of our basic human needs: hunger and thirst. Now, we live in America. And by the way, we live in the best part of it. We live in the South. That's my say amen right there. I've been preaching up north long enough to know I sure am glad I ain't from up there. They don't even know how to eat. Their food ain't no count. Everything they got's bland. I'm like, man, put some salt on that. Put some pepper on it. Do something to it. They just suck the flavor out of everything. Ain't got no grits. Ain't got no sweet tea. You ask for sweet tea, they bring you a glass of stump water and a pack of sugar. I said, man, that ain't sweet tea. Anyway, I'm glad I'm from the South. We got good food.
Amen.
So we don't really know a whole lot about these two basic needs. Nobody in here really knows what it means to be hungry. You miss lunch, you think that's hunger. Some of y'all are aggravated right now that you're gonna be late for the buffet at the Chinese restaurant. Don't worry, them kittens will wait on you. He's sitting there one day and somebody said, are those chicken nuggets? I said, no, they're kitten nuggets. You worried about what time you're going to get out? You're looking at your watch.
That's right. Praise God.
You're worried more about going and feeding that physical belly than you are that spiritual. We don't know what it means to be hungry. We don't know what it means to thirst. I believe he's talking about a man I believe it's Psalms 42. Where he said, my heart panteth for after the water brook. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee.
Amen.
You can get so thirsty that your tongue will actually stick to the roof of your mouth. You'll get so dehydrated that you can't even sweat. Thirst. Oh, if this nation we're living in would get hungry for God. The churches that get hungry for God. They don't even want to hear from God anymore. Just entertain me. Put on a good show. Let's have a band. Let's have a concert. Don't pay much attention to that Bible. Hey, let's just have a good time and we'll go home. Nobody wants to eat anymore. Most people's homes have a menu now. I said this last time, I'll say it again. I grew up in a time it was put on the table and you ate it or you went hungry. I watched my wife when my grandkids are at the house. I told her, I said, we're not grandparents, we're waiters. All we live for is to fill their sippy cup. And she'll go around the room, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? I'm like, what's up with this? It's not a restaurant. That's the way church has become.
Right.
We want to preach to please everybody, give everybody a little something. Listen, it doesn't matter what you want.
Amen.
What matters is what we need. I may have a rough day tomorrow. This could be the worst week of my entire life. I need something from God today that is going to get me through the valley that I'm about to have to walk through. Nobody's hungry for God. I remember when I first got saved. Brother Aaron, it wasn't long. I found myself at White Oak Springs sitting about where you are on the front middle pew. I sat about right there where you are, and Brother Tommy Talbot sat beside me. I can remember my hind end barely being on the edge. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean like this right here, brother. With my Bible open. Looking at my old fat preacher and saying, preach. He can say one more thought and I'm going to close. And I'm like, no, this is good. Don't stop.
Amen.
Keep it coming.
Yes.
I need it.
That's right.
You're feeding me. Brother Earl said something one Sunday day. Felt like he wasn't helping nobody. I went to him after church and I said, preacher, if you ain't helping nobody else in this place, you're feeding me. I need what you got to say. I need it Sunday morning. I need it Sunday night. And I need it Wednesday night. God, oh Lord, preacher, you just preach.
Yeah.
Hungry.
Yes.
Hungry. I wanted all I could get. But then we seem like spiritually we've got all we want. We've got all we want. We treat the Word of God and the things of God like a fad. It's good for a while. Then we get tired of it and we move on to something else. I used to eat Reese's butter cups. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Reese's peanut butter cups. I used to eat them by the wheelbarrow load. I had them every day of my life until I got sick of them. Don't bring me no more Reese's cup. I can smell it and it about makes me nauseous. I still like it every now and then. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's where a lot of people are spiritually. There are people in churches this morning that ain't got a Bible, but they grew up in one that read it. You okay? I told you last week about the guy on the radio who said, a preacher, here's what he said, we don't even use the Bible. He wasn't talking about the King James. He's talking about period. How you have church without the Word of God? I'm glad we have it.
Amen.
He said again, I'm glad we have it. But more than that, I'm glad we use it. And I'm glad we believe it. You know, having it and receiving it is two different things. China, where Brother Don's been a missionary. Some of those people give anything to hold this in their hands. Am I right, preacher? They'd give anything just to have this and say, this is mine. This is not, you know what they'll do? They'll get it and they'll cherish it and they'll love it. They'll read it and they'll memorize it.
Amen.
Am I right? Because it's not available to them like it is to you.
Yeah.
But yet we take it for granted every single day. Some of y'all sitting there right now looking at your phone. Man of God up here trying to help you. But you got better things on your mind. Or if you could live in China for a month. You might come home and kiss the ground. You might grab that book and hold it to your chest and tell God 10,000 times you're sorry for neglecting it. Or we'll get hunger and thirst. Our basic needs. That's what he appeals to. But listen to me. To be right with God is more essential than to have your belly full.
Amen.
He said again, to be right with God is more essential or more important than having your physical belly full.
Amen.
I watch these commercials. Now, don't get me wrong, somebody's going to get mad. I'm not against feeding hungry people. For just 50 cents a day, you can feed a starving child. Hallelujah, I'm for it. But what good is it if you fill their belly and they die and go to heaven?
Right.
That's right.
I believe in feeding them, Brother Charles, but I believe in feeding them both ways. I watch those crazy faith healers on the television. They bop people on the head and come out and all that good stuff and be healed. Somebody shouts, "Oh, I can hear, I can hear." What good's that if you ain't saved? All that stuff's a bunch of fake and a show anyway. I'll just go ahead and throw that in. People are all worried about the physical. What about the spiritual? To be right with God is more important than anything else.
Amen.
Did you know you can be right with God and the world falling down around you and still be happy? Full. Full does not equal happy. Look around you. Look at Hollywood. Look at the tabloids in the checkout line. Them people got more money than they got sense. I heard the other day, I forgot what movie it was or even what actor it was, but the movie grossed, I forgot how many billions of dollars. I thought, good night, man, from one movie. I'd never work again. But those are the most unhappy people in the world.
Amen.
They're happy in their relationship.
Yes.
They all got a psychic and a psychiatrist. They all got to have a pill to go to bed. They got to have a pill to get up.
Yes.
And a pill to keep them going through the day. They're not happy.
No.
They're full. They got Ferraris and Maseratis and Rolls Royces and live in mansions. But yet, they're miserable.
Amen.
Brother Robbie, take you down the rescue mission. Introduce you to a man who slept under a bridge last night that's happier than that Hollywood crowd. Because he's got Jesus in his heart.
Amen.
I got to move on. Listen carefully this morning. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Listen, you've got all of God you want.
That's right. Yes, sir.
25 years I've heard it. I wish I had a dollar, Brother Rob, for every time I heard it. Oh, I wish I knew the Bible like Brother Charles. No, you don't, or you would.
Amen.
Your God is just as big in your life as you want him to be.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Just depends on how much room you're giving.
Amen.
We've got to get hungry. Or if America would get hungry. How do we stop all these school shootings? Is getting rid of the guns the answer?
No.
You're an idiot.
Amen.
If you believe taking away guns is going to do away with crime, you're nuts. Did illegalizing or making drugs illegal, did that stop?
No.
Drugs?
Great.
Drinking and driving's illegal. Does that still happen, Brother Todd? Every single day. If it wasn't for them, Todd wouldn't have a job. Making firearms illegal is not going to fix the problem. I'll tell you what will fix the problem in America. If we get hungry for God again, if we just believe that little inscription on our money, in God we trust.
Amen.
Get hungry. Revival. We got revival coming up. Are we going to have revival? Or are we just going to have a meeting? I got to have revival. I don't think it's dependent on God. I think it's dependent on us. Oh, I wish it could happen like it did in Burlington, North Carolina. 13 weeks, over 1,000 saved. Oh, what a deal, man. That didn't just happen. There's a little group of about 20 that met one night a week for years. I think somebody said 20 years them guys prayed for real revival in Burlington, North Carolina. Somebody won. Somebody was persistent in asking for it. Now, listen, I love my grandkids with all my heart. And the rules at Papa and Nina's house is there are no rules. I send them home as rotten as I can. And they can retrain them. That's the problem. That's my job.
Amen.
I'm exaggerating. You hush. They do mine at my house. They're meaningful, not me. Caroline spends the night with us, if she wants something and I don't have it, I'm guilty. I'll get in trouble. And I'll go get it. Why? I want her to have those things. How much more does our God love us? How much more does our God love us? Do you think He doesn't love us enough that we come to His house and say, "Lord, I need you"? I'm busy right now. Sorry, we're fresh out of it. Lord, I need some grace. We're out. You just have to go without. Now, God loves you more than I love my grandbabies. If you got needy spiritually this morning, He will fill it. But He ain't going to force it.
That's right.
He's not going to hold your nose. Every now and then, the grandbabies are at the house and they're sick and we have to administer medicine. I hate that. You know what my job always is? Hold them down. Oh, that's horrible. Screaming over great tasting medicine. Great. Try to tell them it's Kool-Aid. And you gotta hold them down, hold their nose and force it. And then they puke it up on you. I thought, dear Lord, that's like preaching. God's not going to force it down your throat, but it's there. If you want to listen, let me give you a couple thoughts right quick, and we'll go to the house. I've been preaching 25 minutes. I'll be done. Just a minute, okay? Listen. If you get hungry, here's what will happen immediately in your life. You will learn to lean on the Lord. He said again, when you get hungry, you will learn to lean on the Lord.
Amen.
We sing that old song, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." There's days when I cannot stand on my own, but I'm glad I've got one that is way stronger than I, and I can just lean up on Him. What I'm trying to say is I'm trusting with every area of my life. I can talk up on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I can lean on this book right here. It has the answer for my every need.
Amen.
What are you leaning on this morning?
Amen.
Somebody's leaning on a prescription. Somebody's leaning on a bottle. Somebody's leaning on something rolled up in smoke. Y'all okay? So we need to learn how to lean on the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 is still in the book. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Are you trusting Him? If you are, what are you so worried about? What are you so tore up over if you're really trusting God? I've heard people all my life say, "I just put it in the Lord's hand," but then they go have another birthday. When you get hungry for God, you'll learn to lean on Him. You'll learn to trust Him in every area of your life. Listen, I lean on Him for so many things. Number one, I lean on Him for forgiveness.
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all. Well, I do. I know more about me. I'm a sinner.
Amen.
I messed up yesterday, and I'm acting for today.
Yeah. Amen.
Y'all all right? I lean on Him for forgiveness. One day I had to lean on Him real hard. I need the forgiveness for my sins forever. I was lost and on my way to hell. I didn't want to die. I had to trust in the Lord and what He could do. Hey, there was nothing I could do to earn or merit my salvation. I had to lean on Him and trust Him for every single bit. Well, okay, I have to lean on Him for forgiveness. I have to lean on Him for cleansing. I have to lean on Him to have the guilt removed from my heart. Sometimes I have trouble going to sleep. But it's not because of a guilty conscience. Somebody asked Brother Earl Hughes one time, said, "Brother Earl, what if we could take your life and your thoughts and put them up on a screen for everybody to see?" Brother Earl said, "Give me 5 minutes and put anything up there you want."
Yeah.
You ain't getting it, are you? But the old man of God was saying, you let me get along with the Lord somewhere, and all you're going to have is a blank canvas. I have to lean on him for that cleansing. I have to lean on him for the removal of that guilt in my life. I lean on him for everything, my daily substance. Praise God. In that Lord's, what we call the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer, he said, give us this day our daily bread.
Amen.
And Brother Jesse, I don't really even know what I need tomorrow. But he does.
Yes, sir.
Right. He already knows.
Sure. Amen.
You say, preacher, I don't need this message. You don't know that. You haven't lived tomorrow yet.
Amen.
Or the next day or the next day.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say, if you don't arise and eat, you're not going to make it.
Amen.
I remember so good. I don't want to embarrass him, but it's good to see Brother Jeremy and Miss Michelle here.
Amen.
I remember the first Sunday they ever came. You know how many years ago that was? Ten years ago. 3 years old. Now she's beautiful, nearly grown. She was beautiful then too. They came here on Sunday morning. I believe they sat right in here. I can see it. It's like it was yesterday. They were sitting with him. Then he lifted them. One of them had the right idea. Let's give God a shot.
Amen.
Let's go to church. Let's give this thing one more shot. Let's go to church. Well, where do we go? I don't know. They Googled churches.
Yes.
Saw our church online, said, that looks good. I believe Brother Jeremy said, that's where we're supposed to go.
Amen.
They came here that morning. Did you get saved that morning? Yes, he was Catholic. And came and got saved. There she sits with her daughter and her husband. They were down here praying together. Hallelujah this morning.
Amen.
Don't wait until it's over to lean on the Lord. Lean on him now. Trust him now. Don't wait till the marriage is almost done.
Amen.
Well, we need to lean on him for every single thing in our life. I'm going to leave a bunch of this out. Listen, when we get hungry for God, we'll learn to lean on him. And then we'll learn to learn from him. We're too full of this world's knowledge. Our kids, we're growing up in a time, our kids know too much. I mean, they know too much.
Yes,
they know stuff I didn't know until I was grown.
Right.
I ain't going to go there and elaborate. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Their little minds are just so filled. They know so much about the world and all the junk that's going on. But they know so little about God. Are you listening? Somebody said there's several counties. I believe one in Georgia, I forgot what county it was. Some in Florida, they voted to put prayer back in school. I grew up with that. Brother Freddie, we had the Bible read to us every morning. Psalms and Proverbs, every morning. We pledged both flags every morning. We pledged allegiance to the Bible. I ain't talking about a Christian school. I'm talking about New Georgia Elementary School. Public school. He said, well, that just opens the door for everybody. I said it Wednesday night. I'll say it again. If our kids can pray, that means the Muslims can pray. I don't care. I told you Wednesday night. I'll tell you now. Ain't nobody listening to them. All they do is moving their mouth. They ain't praying to nobody. But then we get a group of kids in there that can pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we might see something change in our country. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why is it okay for them to teach world religions in our public school, but they will not teach or mention the Lord Jesus Christ? What's up with that? Why can they bring a prayer rug in and demonstrate? Don't die on me. I'm telling you, it can happen. It does happen. But they don't talk about the Lord. You know what? He's the only one that can change.
Amen.
Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know what I love? I can bring our bus kids over here this morning. There's probably 150 of them over there. I can bring them up here, pile them up on this platform, and they can quote the books of the Bible to them. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. I mean, they go all the way through 66 books. They can do it. like an army chant, son. I wonder if we had our adults stand up in here this morning. I tell you to turn to the book of Habakkuk. You'd still be looking when we got here tonight. That's okay if you've just been saved.
Amen.
If you've been saved long as some of you have, you shouldn't have to need the index. Y'all know that. When you get hungry, we'll learn about it.
Yes.
It's a shame some of you men. You know more about the habits of a rotten buck.
Amen.
Than you do your saving.
Amen.
And you wonder why you struggle.
Amen.
You know more about when the bass go on bed and what they're biting.
Amen.
You ladies know more about what's on sale and where to get the best deal. You study Pinterest. I struck a nerve. I wonder why we're having such a hard time. Because we know so little about hunger. And that is a shame when so much is available. I feel sorry for some of these people going to these churches where they don't have a Bible. Where they ain't got a preacher. They got a motivational speaker and flip-flops and
riots
to it.
Right.
I had a man tell me out of his own mouth, gotta be careful, I'm on the internet. I'm talking about a friend of mine, somebody who's helped our church. He was telling me about his church. He said, I love my church and we have great fellowship. He said, but if you want to grow, it's just not the place for you. That's his testimony about his own church. You know what he's saying? We ain't got nothing. We have a good time, that's all we got.
Yeah.
They do that at the bar down here.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got a place we can come and learn. And we can come and learn. You fall in love with the Lord, you want to know everything about
Him.
Are you listening? You want to know everything about Him. You've been hungry for Him. You'll want to get closer to Him. You get hungry for the Lord, you'll learn to lean on Him. You'll learn about Him. I'm trying to wrap this up. Listen, you'll live for Him.
Amen.
You'll live for Him. I'm faithful to my wife.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Brother Jesse and Brother Micaiah went with me to New York last week, before last week. They come home, Jesse, look at Jesse and Micaiah. One told my wife, said, all he did was talk about you. Said he done good preaching, but all he done was talk about you. You know what it is? I want everybody to know I'm a happily married man.
Yes,
I love my wife.
Yes, sir.
With all my heart. You know what that makes me want to do? Be with her.
Yes.
Be close to her.
Yes.
Touch her. Have her touch me. She still, this day, after 34 years, walk up and put her hand on my back. I still get Twitter pages. It's the whole. Woo! Sorry, it's just how it is. You get hungry for him, you want to live for him. You want to be faithful to him. I don't have a problem living for God. There's days, like anybody else, I have a hard time doing the right thing and saying the right thing. But I really don't have hard times living for Him and serving Him. I love Him. You know why? Because I realize every day how much He did for me. And we're not all of it. Listen, last thing I'm thinking. You get hungry for the Lord, you'll lean on Him, you'll learn from Him, you'll live for Him. But listen, last thing I'm done, you'll love with Him. You'll love with Him. Some of these churches I go to, they don't know Him. Because all they do is bicker and fuss. All they do is fight and squabble. Business meeting after business meeting. Vote on this and vote on that. All they want is something to argue about, something to fight about. Then stand up and sing Love Lifted. Hypocrites.
Yeah, amen.
You get hungry for God, it'll make you love one another.
Amen.
John said, we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Amen.
Amen. I love you, God. I ain't got the slightest desire to fight one another.
That's right.
You know why? Because I love you. Amen. And when there is a problem, I love you enough. I want the problem to be right.
Amen.
Y'all okay? Your love with God. God will put a love in your heart that you can't conjure up on your own.
Amen.
We okay? I wonder who's hungry this morning. Wonder who wants him.
Amen.
There's an old hymn that says, more, more about Jesus.
Yes.
More, more. There's another one that says, I want to know more about my Lord. You've been trying to fix it. And it ain't getting better. You've been trying to dig your way out and you're just getting deeper.
Yeah.
Why don't you come to Him this
morning? Amen.
Say, Lord, I need you. Maybe somebody has been saved a long time. And it's been a while since you were hungry.
Amen.
It's been a while since you were even hungry enough to come back on Sunday night. Not to even mention Wednesday. We still have church Sunday night, Wednesday night.
Amen.
We're not planning on stopping anytime soon. Why? Because people need it.
Amen.
Well, we got small groups. Do that on Tuesday.
Yeah.
We'll get together, go out and eat. Yeah. Do that. Amen.
Right.
Amen. We come to church on Sunday night.
Amen.
We come to church. Why? Because we need it.
Amen. Amen.
We need the fellowship, but more than that, we need the food.
Amen. Yes.
Somebody will gather up in this altar this morning, maybe a husband and wife, and say, man, we need God. We need God.
Amen.
Maybe somebody's struggling with whatever. Before we get on this altar and say, God, I need you. Let's stand before God.